Shall we turn to the scriptures, beloved? A word of fatherly advice. I'm not the oldest person in the room, but I would like to say that over many years I have always found it most profitable to get up in the morning and go to the prayer meeting. I went this morning and I gathered this that I'm going to talk to you about. If you were one of the people that was sleeping instead of being in the prayer meeting, you will see what you missed. There is a word which goes like this, that you should sow beside all waters. Well, if you sow, you must reap. And I reaped, you see, this morning. And it's a very, very wonderful thing. For one of the persons in the prayer meeting prayed along this line. It found lodgment in my heart. It might be good advice to all preachers and would-be preachers to go along to be prepared to reap beside all waters. And let the Lord do something in your heart. One of the things never to do is get fixed sermons. You must never do that if you're a preacher. That's a poor thing. You've got to get way beyond that. You've got to have a fixed God. Sermons don't matter much if they don't come from Him. And so, beloved, this was the thing that was prayed. You will find it with me in the second book of the Corinthians, and the sixth chapter, 2 Corinthians 6. Perhaps I'll read the chapter, but I don't often do this. Rather preferring to take the whole Bible as my chapter. But this morning we'll read through 2 Corinthians 6. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You must always note that. If you go about giving offense to people, whatever pretense, reason, or excuse, they will always blame the ministry that you sit under. They will say, that's what it produces. You see? Don't go there. That's what it produces, I'll say. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. I don't know whether you would have qualified for the ministry, would you? Anybody wants to be a minister, got ambitions to be a preacher? Would you have qualified in the early church? This is how ministers approve themselves. Did those words go in? course, you could be a minister of a denomination. This is being a minister of God. If you're going to minister God, that is, if you're sent from God to minister Him to someone, this is the thing by which you will have full documentation that you are really from God. In much patience. If you're one of these fellows that want to bang a big drum and have an explosion or an eruption in the first 6 months, when the first time you go to a title, God sent me, I'm full of the Spirit. Well, I prefer to think that Paul was fuller. And he said, in much patience. Oh, but we got the Holy Ghost. We got this, that, and the other. Yeah, I know. So did Jesus have the Holy Spirit. In much patience. In affliction. In necessities. That's having to do things, not choosing to do them. Not having preferences, in being forced to do things, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known. If you inquire whether a person's well known, you've got to inquire whether he's well known in hell and in heaven. You remember these seven sons of, you know, Sceva that tried to cast out the devil, and but we get out by Jesus whom Paul preached. Said, who are you? He said, we know Paul, but we don't know you. We know Jesus, we know Paul, said the devils, but we don't know you. That's where you've got to be well known, amongst the devils. You've got to be known there. You've got to have a terrible reputation amongst them. That's right. The devils have got to know you, got to be talking about you. We all know Paul, they said. We know Jesus. Jesus was a terror to them too. He had a terrible reputation in hell, Jesus.
That's right.
Wonderful reputation in heaven. You see, this is the thing. When you talk about well known, not the great evangelist is coming, you know, or the great apostle, or the great preacher, you see. Didn't matter. As unknown, he said. Unknown. He used to nip over walls in the dark. That's what Paul used to do. Yeah. Never had a motorcade to meet him. And it says, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed. Say, oh, I don't bother about this, we'll die out, you know. That's what they said. Well, you know, can't you hear this? You know, it's Gamaliel, he says. And they were making a terrific fuss in Acts, early chapter. They said, oh, well, he said, let it alone, if it's not good, Lord, die. He said, remember that lot that went out after the fellow in the wilderness, he said. And you remember there was an upright voice. He said, Lord, die. We're always dying out, but we will live. Hallelujah. It's always alive. Glory. We're always dying, and behold, we live. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing. And on we go. I'm not supposed to be commenting. I haven't got to the point yet. As chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. And it's that I want to talk about, the enlarged heart. Our heart is enlarged. You're not straightened in us. You are straightened in your own bowels. That's where you're all shut up. That's where all you're all narrow, in your own bowels. That's what Paul said to these Corinthians. You wouldn't have thought so, would you, if you read the 1 Corinthian letter and found what wonderful gifts they had. You see, he said, you're all straightened, you're all shut up. It's not much good having a lot of gifts of you if you're in prison, is it? What's the use of that? Supposing you had all the diamonds in the world and you were locked up in jail with them all round you. Marvelous, at a jail full, cell stacked full of diamonds and plutonium and uranium and I don't know, well, what's the use of that? No good at all. Oh, to have a great enlarging. This is the thing that Paul is talking about. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be you also enlarged. You see, what Paul wanted was not only children, but large ones. He said in the first epistle, he said, you know, I couldn't speak unto you as men, I've had to talk to you as babes, he said. You're children, all right, but you're not large, you haven't grown, you haven't gone on at all. And you know, beloved, one of the most tragic things that could ever happen to a company of people is to keep staggering round from conference to conference and never grow. Next time you see them, they're all the same. They've not gone on at all. Except picked up a few more ills and troubles. You see, but has to have gone on. God, now Paul is pleading with them. He says, now be enlarged. Mind you, Paul had come a long way to these Corinthians. He'd come a tremendous way. For he, after this one, this list here, he says, oh, he says, our mouth's really been open to you. I don't usually talk about these things, Paul's saying, you know, about stripes and necessities and imprisonments. He wasn't an old groaner. He wasn't always griping about things. He wasn't blowing his own trumpet. He wasn't telling people how that he was approved of God. That wasn't what he was on about. And somehow, under the constraint of the Spirit, because of the thing that God was wanting to say, and sometimes this has to be said, this man and all men have to do it at times. They have to talk about what they've been through themselves. They don't like doing it. And sometimes, as a testimony to truth and as a way to make people see it in someone else's flesh and in lives before them. They have to say, our mouth's open to you. Praise God. You know how open it was. He doesn't say these things in any other epistle. Doesn't say these things. You remember it in the first epistle. He had a tremendous statement. He opened his mouth wide in the first epistle. Do you remember the things he said? And later on in this same epistle, it's the epistle of the open mouth. And the large heart is this second epistle of the Corinthians. I'm not saying that other epistles didn't come from the same source and in the same degree of power and love. But this is the epistle of the open heart. The enlarged heart and open mouth. You take the 12th chapter of Daniel, a man in Christ caught up to paradise, to the third heaven. You see? And he said, "You're making me a fool. You've made me boast." He didn't like to do it. But, beloved, there is this which is always a testament in a man's life, that he has the marks of the approval of God upon him. And I know that there are many, many, and we're here, and I don't mean this in any way other than complimentary, beloved, and as it should be in Christ by the Spirit, that there are many of us here who would love to have the signs of the approval of God in our lives and in our ministry. This is what we're wanting. Is that true? Of course we are. Now then, beloved, you and I, we have to see this great thing of God. This can only be when your heart is enlarged. You see that? You've got a heart. God's given you a new heart. He's given you a true heart. Is that right? Well, now he wants it to be enlarged. He wants it to be enlarged, beloved. And this is the great process of God. There's no doubt about it. Go back to the fifth chapter. In the fifth chapter, we're told this. Verse 17, the famous verse. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Amen. You must never stop at the end of verse 17. Most preachers do, and they are merely misquoting when they do. They've taken it out of context. You must never stop until you get into the next verse. All things new, and all things are of God. That alters it. You don't see anything coming from the devil anymore, you see? You're not a new creature if you keep seeing things coming from the devil. Always marshalling the forces up to pray against the devil. All this nonsense. It's very popular. You've got to see, beloved, that all things are of God. Who amongst us can see that this morning? Everything. Blessed be God. Why, if it's something that looks vicious, it's only for you to sharpen your spurs on. It's all from God. You've got to get on with it. And see this. You've got to have a large, large heart, even though you're a new creature, see. When you become a new creature, you're only born a babe with a little heart. That's all, a little thing. There, you see. And it's got to be enlarged. The trouble with some people, they open their mouths wide and their hearts aren't large enough. See, Paul says our mouths open, but he's got a large heart and he can afford to open his mouth. You can open your mouth wide when your heart's big enough. That's right. And remember, when you open your mouth wide, and you open it wide, anybody has a right to come to you and say, "Right, now you said it. Come on, let's see it." That's right. So make sure you've got a large heart before you get your mouth open. Praise God. There are too many preachers with big mouths and little hearts. It's right. It's true, beloved. I'm not throwing brickbats. This is true. This is the terrible heritage. We won't deny that they're new creatures and they can trot out the texts all right and put a good sermon together. But beloved, you've got to have a large heart. Hallelujah. This has always been God's way. If you go back with me, say, into Isaiah and see what Isaiah is saying, or the Spirit of Christ which was in him was signifying. when it was testifying through Isaiah. I'm quoting from Peter now. You see? The Spirit of Christ talking through this man Isaiah. Listen, it's in chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. See, everybody talking about darkness, darkness, darkness. I quoted already this morning this hymn about the darkness hiding. These all wrong. There's another hymn which says there's only the glory of light hideth thee. That's absolutely different. I prefer to sing that one. That's true. The darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Praise God. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Amen. Glory. And thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. There it is. Thy heart shall be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. There you are. All things are of God, you see. To thee, everything's converted to thee. You don't know anything that's unconverted, do you? So, yeah, I know a lot of unconverted things. What you want to do is to really get your heart full of God, and then everything's converted. That's right. And if somebody punches you on the nose, that's converted to you. Yeah. If you're a true lamb, that's all converted. If somebody maligns you and takes away your character, it's all converted to you. It's all sweet, comes from Jesus. Do you believe that? Everything's converted when you're converted properly. Amen. Say, now you're not going to tell me the devil's converted. Yes, he is. He's got to do as he's told. Mind you, his intentions aren't right, but it's God's power that converts him, you see. Turns everything to your good. What he would make a curse becomes a blessing. What he would make a punch becomes a pat. That's right. This is the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? There's nothing against you in this world. If God's for you, who can be against you? There's nothing against you in this world. God converts everything before it touches you. Makes it help you on. It's right. Well, that's how I've proved. I mean, I mustn't preach against my experience. That's the truth. Nothing shall by any means harm you. Do you believe that? That's right. Oh, it's precious. You see? It's so sweet and wonderful and lovely. When your heart gets really big enough to see it. When you're little and tiny, oh dear, we make a fuss. We find a lot of bolt holes to run to. And all that. But oh, beloved, he said, if you're going to approve yourself as a minister of God, man, and listen, now's the day. Now's the day. Now's the day. It's the day of salvation. Glory. You see? And you and I, beloved, are to move in this, and you've got to be able to say, well, Lord, imprisonments, stripes, poverty, having nothing, afflictions, persecutions. Oh, praise God. This is marvellous, isn't it? But listen, by the word of God, by the armor of righteousness, by the power of God, by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost glories in exactly the same conditions that Jesus did. The third person of the Trinity glories and exalts and triumphs in exactly the same circumstances and settings that the second person of the Trinity overcame in. It's a prolongation of the cross conditions and of the hatred of men. And the Holy Ghost comes through, beloved, in these very situations. And beware of these people who keep trying to give you a treacle. And say, it's all got to be honey and waffles and I don't know what. Beware of them. It sounds all right. It sounds lovely and they can make seem to prove it by scripture. But I tell you, you've got to be out there where everything can be converted to you. It'll come as a bomb and be turned into a pineapple. That's right. I know they're called hand grenades pineapples. I don't mean that. But this is the truth. And the Lord has to open your eyes to see it. You've got, my beloved brothers and sisters, to come to the place where you know that the Lord has converted the great promises that are going to be fulfilled in the end of an age to Israel. He's converted them to have an application to you. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See that? And the light of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen. And if you behave yourselves properly, if you look back in Isaiah verse, it says in verse 4, lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves unto thee. You don't have to go and gather them, they gather themselves. That's right. And this is the tremendous thing. If you're a bright enough light so that everybody in the darkness can see, they'll come. That's my testimony to you anyway. That's the truth. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Acts of the Apostles is very plain about. They just used to gather themselves unto the early church. They couldn't join. They all had to stand around and see. They couldn't join the church. But Jesus added to the church. They gathered themselves. They pleaded with Paul, said, come back and preach next Saturday, they said. The Sabbath. Come back, preach next week, they said. Oh, no, there aren't enough bright lights to get that kind of invitation today, are there? Ah, you see, we're in the end of the age, you know, a great declension, and a great this and a great that, but they've got a great God too. He hasn't got any weaker because men have got wickeder. Hallelujah. That's right. Praise God. You ask old John Wesley. When you see John Wesley, you ask him. England was just as wickeder then than it is today. Terrible. Blackguarding, blaspheming. When he used to ride through the early morning, when he got somewhere, he found there were about 1,000 people gathered waiting for him by daybreak. Because he was a burning and a shining light. They gathered themselves. That's right. They didn't have a great headquarters in London, scillating letters round, costing thousands of pounds, or anything like that. They gathered themselves. This is right, beloved. It's right. God give us big hearts. Great big hearts. That's the trouble with us. Our hearts aren't big enough. Of course, our heart isn't big enough. Our love isn't big enough. Our patience isn't big enough. Our endurance isn't big enough. Our compassion isn't big enough. That's right. Praise God. This is the way. You've got to get great big. Large hearts, that's the thing you want to develop. Hallelujah. If you get a big heart, you've got to have a big body for it. I mean spiritual body, of course. That's right. Because I'm talking about a spiritual heart. This is right. And you'll find you have a great big spiritual body, and this is how it will come. You see? It's in the bracket in verse 13. I speak as unto my children. That's it. That's the big body that will be gathered round you. Who makes the body of Christ? Oh, all his children, all the redeemed ones. That's right. And the body that you'll have, my beloved, will be those that will be saved by the precious beating and flowing of the heart of Jesus in you. That's right. Amen. I am the children that God has given me. Isaiah could say that. Jesus could say it. Paul could say it. Will you be able to say it?
Lord.
That's right. Jesus. This is it. Get a great big heart. And if it gets big enough, you'll have the privilege of having it ruptured and burst. Right. Now the Lord wants to teach us this. There are too many people writing letters whose hearts are about as big as a pinhead. Words, they say, are weighty. You see? That's right. You can write marvellous letters, but have you got a heart? Paul didn't write a lot of letters. Just 7 here. That's all. He had a heart. I suppose he never had time to write letters. He was too busy. I think so. In the end, God had to have him shut up in prison so that he could write letters. That's right. Shut him off from being too busy. That's right. That's the way God does it. And it's a marvellous thing. But everybody wants to retire to a nice cottage and start writing, you see. That's not God's way. Get so busy that you have to be put in prison and then you can write letters. That's right. This is the way with God. Now may the Lord lead us into the greatness of this truth. Let's go right on, shall we? If you're straightened, he says in verse 12, you're straightened in your own bowels. That's where you're straightened. Right in there. Do you feel straightened this morning? Oh, shut up. Now, your trouble's right inside you. It's your own bowels that are at fault. That's right. Everybody shut up in their own bowels. They haven't... And when we speak of the bowels of the earth, we mean the great deep down secret hidden parts. That's where people are shut up. They can't get free, they can't get loose, they can't do this, they can't speak a word, they can't write a letter, they can't do anything. Now my beloved brothers and sisters, listen. This may be some of the reason for your straightness. Listen. Verse 14. Are you unequally yoked together with unbelievers? Are you? Now, I don't mean if you're a Christian girl, have you got a boyfriend that isn't a Christian, or vice versa. That's all wrong. But this is the favourite line that people like to talk about. You can be unequally yoked together with unbelievers in all kinds of things. That's where you'll get straightened. When I first responded to the Lord Jesus Christ as a young boy, a young fellow, I used to play in the local football team. I used to be a cricketer, and I used to be all this, that and the other. There's nothing wrong with these things, but I couldn't do it except by being yoked up with them. You see? I can go and kick a football without being yoked with unbelievers. There's nothing wrong in that. But it's the yoking. I mean, they couldn't function without me. I'm not so big-headed, but you know what I mean? You have to have 11 members in a team. if you don't go, well, there you are. You let them down. It's a real yoke. These kinds of things. I want to say, beloved, if you want the ultimate, glorious freedom of God, you've got to get right away from everything. I'm not trying to institute a legal system. That's utterly wrong. There are plenty of people who preach separation, 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 and they're so dead they might as well be in their coffin. That's right. But if it's this that you want, all of God, if you must have all of God, if you've got a great big panting heart in you, I tell you, you won't find God yoked up with unbelievers. You'll find him preaching to them, trying to get them saved, but not yoked with them. That's the point. This is the great thing. Let's go on again. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Isn't it that all these things are mutually repellent? Doesn't righteousness repel unrighteousness? Doesn't light repel darkness? Doesn't it? There's no point of union there. There's no place that they can come together. They've got to be separated. In the very nature of it, they cannot unite. Now then, are you in the place where you can't unite with these things? Let's go on. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Don't you see, beloved, is your heart really concerned with what we sang this morning? Mine, 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 thine, thine, thine. Are you as keen to be the people of God as God was to make you his people? Are you? Well, I want to tell you this. You cannot be the people of God and the people of the world. You can't. Now give up one or the other and stop all pretense. It's got to be one or the other. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. This is the deadline or the lifeline, whichever way you look at it. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. You see that word imprisonment in verse 5. I knew imprisonment on that text I've just quoted to you. Come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Now I went to prison on that verse. I quoted it to them. Hallelujah. It's all unclean, these things. You can't touch the world without getting unclean for that. Can't do it. So, oh, that's innocent enough. Uncleanness. Hallelujah. It was on these things where God dealt with me when my heart was absolutely filled up with music, you see. He showed me what an unclean man this favorite Beethoven of mine was. It all came from filth. A terrible temple, he was devil-possessed, stormed and raged. And the Messiah, Oh, that's heavenly music.
Yeah.
Old Handel, he went to Ireland, and you know that the Messiah was first played in Ireland.
Yeah.
They didn't think much of it in England, so he played it first in Ireland. He so swore and stormed at the trumpet player that the poor man had to go out and go get up and go out of the room. And he was singing, "I know my great, my Redeemer liveth." Handel. Shocking man. Chopin. Don't bear talking about. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Terrible people they were. And I used to revel in it. I think it was marvellous. I still like it. I'm not saying the music isn't beautiful. That's not what I'm saying. But I had nothing to do with the spirit that came through it. I don't mind. Be careful when you get going into these great compositions. You're exploring the soul of the person that gave them. You understand that? When you look at a picture, you look at the soul of the artist. When you listen to music, you're listening to the soul of the musician. Be careful what souls you love. Be careful. Oh, say, but it induces wonderful thoughts in me. Now, I know. I've been there. Perhaps I've been carried away farther than a lot of you, if not all of you. It was so good. But you and I have got to know what it is to be separate unto God. There's something about holiness, beloved, you see. This is what it says. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Now I'll ask you a question. Did old Handel stand up and say, "Now, dearly beloved brethren, let's play this music"? He swore at them, cursed them. But Jesus said, "Dearly beloved." Did ever anybody talk like this? Did he? When Beethoven wrote his marvellous fifth, it's fate knocking at the door. Fate! Fate! What's that? These are the tremendous things that God wants us to understand. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The combination of spirit with flesh is soul. God breathed spirit into the dust of the ground, and then man became a living soul. And your soul will rely on, your soul condition will rely on the state of your flesh and of your spirit. All right? And you are to cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. And you are to be occupied not with negative things. So many people think that life is trying to get rid of sin. Nay, that's all negative. You've got to be employed with a positive, perfect in holiness. Holiness is something positive, present, a glorious condition of soul in which I live because flesh and spirit are clean. Amen. Is your heart big enough for this? Have you got a heart big enough for this? You know, I remember the days when God visited my beloved wife and I years ago along these lines. We wanted to be holy, seek the Lord. And I can remember how with joy and gladness everything went out of our lives. Everything. Well, my wife was probably ahead of me, but for as far as I was concerned, everything went with gladness. There was a, oh, I've got to give up this. Oh, am I gonna, oh, can't I do this? Hey, never entered my head. Everything went. Somebody said to me once, you be careful you don't let go of too much. Well, she's gone with the Lord now. She knows better. But you see, this is the point. Beloved, there comes a place in the life, and I despair of anyone if they don't get there. Well, they voluntarily, joyfully threw everything away. Everything. That's right. And set store by nothing. That's the work of the Spirit. And the Lord, He came and He ministered, and He'll make your heart so big, and He'll fill it, beloved, with all loves for the things of God. And beloved, if you don't do this, you won't know the joys of your life and of your birth. You won't know it, because this is what He said in verse 17 of chapter 6, come out from among them and be separate, and don't touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, you see. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. See? That's how you know it. If you know anybody that glories and rejoices in God as their father, you can guarantee that they've given everything up to know it and enjoy it. You say, well, can you buy it by giving things up? Nay, you can't buy anything in God. But you're putting yourself in the condition, in the position where you can receive. How can you get your hearts and lives filled up with what God has to give if you've got them filled up with something else? How can you? And you get filled up with something else and then moan and groan because you haven't got all God got promised and all this business. Well, beloved, it's callous heartlessness, all that nonsense. It's shallow thinking. Praise God. Say, Lord. Well, will He fill me because I do this? No, but He will fill you if you do it. Not because you do it. He'll fill you because He loves you. That's right. You see. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be able to come to God and say, Lord, my heart's enlarged. And everybody will know, because where you've been nasty to them, you'll be lovely to them. They won't believe you if you talk about having a large heart. If you can't go and get rid of the thing, your nastiness to people, they won't believe it. Why should they believe it? You're a lie. You don't have to believe lies. Oh, well, you should believe me if I say so. No, you don't. Of course you don't believe it. You do it first time until you know people. Then when you know people, you believe their lies. You take them at their word for a start. You see, I took God at His word for a start. I didn't know Him. But now, beloved, I know Him. I know His disposition. God doesn't intend you and me to be sucked in all the rest of our life by what people say. And this is the great way of God. Got a large heart. Let your heart get larger, beloved. There's got to be a recompense in you. You see, Paul's heart was large. He went to these people. He suffered ignominy, shame. They said he wasn't an apostle. They hated him. Oh, well, we want Apollos, you see. Oh, it's Peter, trying to make him jealous. And all this business, you see. You read the first epistle and see. And he had to, they did all sorts of things. Now, he said, let's have some recompense for you. You be my dear chief. You recompense me what I've given to you. I've had a big heart to you. Now you have a big heart to me. See? I've opened my mouth wide to you. Now you open your mouth wide to me. What are you going to say? No, I'm Peter's disciple. I think Apollos is a better preacher than you. And all this sort of silly thing that people say. Beloved, get big hearted. Learn to love. Let God show you these things and move in this realm of perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I want to learn to do this more, to perfect it. Glory, perfect it. You mustn't be content with the state you've reached. You don't ever have to judge yourself looking back, but looking forward. Not what you used to be. Thank God you're different from that. But what you can be, what you're going to be. That's the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let it be that. Perfect holiness. A heart like God's. Amen. Are you being enlarged? You see, beloved, it came as one of the biggest surprises of my life one day when I realized exactly what the last verse of chapter 5 was all about. See? What's it all about? You know what it's all about, don't you? About you. It's you that's got to be reconciled. See? He wrote to Christians. Oh, but we always preach that on Sunday nights to the sinners. He wrote it to the church. Oh, that's a gospel text. Oh, well, there you are then. That's right. You're needing the gospel. That's all it is. You've got to be reconciled to God. Say, but I am a new creature. That's right. Well. Know what was wrong with the Christians? They'd so gotten away from God that they needed reconciling to God again. Praise God. Say, Lord, I'm not angry. I'm not going contrary to you. I just want, Lord, to be one with you. Amen. You know, one of the most wonderful joys that falls to a man's lot. Sometimes I have this privilege. He's reconciling people in a family. When they were newborn babes, you see, mum and children, father and children, they were all in love. New creatures, see. And then things came in, divisions, splits, went this way, and that way. And then the children of the family have to be reconciled. One of the great joys of life, they get reconciliation affected. This is right. You may be a member of the family. Are you reconciled to God? Are you saying yes? Your way, every time. You say be separate, all right, Lord. You say touch not the unbeaming, right, Lord. You've got to be reconciled to God in this. You say have a larger heart, all right, Lord. Lord. You say, oh, well, but how do I have that? Well, I'll tell you what, just start loving the Lord. That's the way to get a heart like. Just keep loving. Just keep on loving, loving, loving. And if you can love someone else, get hold of them too. Love them. That's the way to get a big, large heart. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Don't talk about on your dignity. Like this. Don't talk about like that. If that's your natural stance, ask God to break you. gives the wrong impression. Be stoop-shouldered. Be Mr. Wet-Eyes, to quote Bunyan. That's right. Let the Lord be with you. Oh, give yourself up to him. Be yoked to Jesus. Don't be yoked to anything else. Hallelujah. You can't have fellowship. That's why you keep trying to get in on it. Because you can't have true fellowship. You can only have fellowship with God. No, that's all. And his people. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, I think I've said enough. You go on the perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. Cleanse yourself now from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Go on then, go on. Move on. We'll pray.